Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We have got an absolutely jam-packed one for you this week. Four tournaments to look ahead to, one of which starts on Tuesday night. So don't beat about the bush if you want to get your bets on. We'll also look back on what happened last weekend, but we'll get stuck in first. Steve, what's your news? You well?
I'm all right, yeah. I'd be a lot better if Vincent Norman had finished in the top seven last week. Had the Matsuyama-Norman each-way double. Vincent fell one shot shy of the place's heartbreak. But
it's always the way, isn't it?
It is always the way. Yeah, it was a difficult Sunday. Did you watch the Olympics?
I did. I loved it. Yeah, well, let's start off. Let's go straight into our review. I mean, a seven-way playoff for bronze. That's my kind of sport, that. And the only disappointment about it, Steve, is they didn't have a seven board. I don't see why they couldn't have just broken with protocol and just all played together.
Yeah, I think it annoyed Paul Casey a little bit. He was sweating away on the tee there waiting. So you had McIlroy, Casey, and they were very annoyed by the situation, I think. But no, I don't know. It would have been unprecedented to have a seven ball. You would have enjoyed that, would you?
Well, they had a five ball, didn't they, once the first two got knocked out.
So I think they had to make room for CT Pan's caddy's visor, didn't they?
I've never seen them. I mean, we talked, didn't we, on the Sweet Spot Live, how you don't like players with visors, but CT Pan's caddy, who's also, I believe, his wife, she had the visor, and I've never seen a brim like it. She'd have kept all seven players in the shade, couldn't she?
But, it was hard, but when he did get the bronze medal, she went to kiss him and she nearly took his head off. So she went towards him and he was got bashed by the visor. But yeah, tremendous tournament. I mean, we can't beat ourselves up about not backing Jan the Schiaffele. I don't know whether you've been beating yourself up, but
yeah, no, of course not. Why would
I? 9-1. I mean, we could let him win at 9-1. He'd been nervy in contention. He did his best to throw that one away, actually. I remember watching for the 14th hole when he was so lucky to find his ball. He sliced his drive into the jungle, looked like a lost ball. His provisional went left into trouble, looked like he was running up a cricket score. Here we go again, another runner-up finish for Schiaffele. But then the Japanese volunteers, bursting with integrity, found the ball. You know, Matsuyama's chasing Schiaffele. Yeah, all credit to the Japanese marshals, showed great integrity there, a credit to the Olympic Games, found the ball and he only dropped one shot. And then he tried again to throw it away on the 18th hole of a slice drive in the trouble.
Yeah, he played a beautiful third, didn't he?
That brilliant pitch, didn't he? To seal it, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I switched on with about five holes to play. Matsuyama, your main tip. I mean, he was singeing the edge of the holes, wasn't he? He had a horrible three-putt, didn't he? But he could easily have got himself into contention there, couldn't he?
You're absolutely right. Just a couple of sloppy mistakes. 13th hole, course management error. Took driver off the tee, went in the bunker, left himself a long bunker shot, bunker to bunker, made an ugly bogey on an easy hole, the 13th. Then on the three-putt on 15, I mean, that was an absolute Sunday morning dagger to the crotch, wasn't it?
Yeah, these things were sent to trice, though, weren't they? Kudos to Schiaffele, or slow to play, as I now call him. He's very slow, isn't he? Goodness me. I mean,
I didn't come think on, it was man. An impressive, on I don't think it was an impressive victory from Schiaffele. Yeah, he needed, but it, yeah. After that run of 8 second places since his last win, you felt he was going to fall over the line to get his next win. Maybe it'll settle him down now and it'll resume being the old Xander Schiaffele, who was fantastic in contention. We shall see.
You had to take your hat off to Rory Sabatini. Him and CT Pan set off way off the pace. Rory hit a minus 10, that's a new terminology. Rory hit a 10 under and CT Pan at 8 under, and they both ended up on the podium, didn't they? So that was good.
Yeah, they came roaring through. I mean, there's just nothing for fourth, is there? You know, fourth place is as good as last place in that one. So, no money involved. So, yeah, it was worth them attacking. And Rory Sabatini changed his nationality to get in the Olympics. So, he would have been delighted to get a medal.
Well, yeah, he would, wouldn't he? And then over in the European event in Northern Ireland, I must say one thing, Steve. They were showing the women's and the men's tournaments concurrently, weren't they? And I thought, first of all, that wouldn't work, but I actually thought they did it really well. It was quite good to see, to have interspersed the men's and the women's finales. I thought it was a great bit of editing by the Sky Golf team. Did it do it for you, or did you find it sort of a bit distracting?
I suppose if I'd had a bet in the women's one, I would have found it interesting and enjoyed it. But because I was so focused on the men's one, no, I found it a little bit annoying. But yeah, it just shows what a bonkers game golf is that Daniel Gavin's won that tournament. He started the final round seven shots behind. Then he sets a mark which no one really thinks is going to be competitive. And then David Horsey comes home in 40 shots and bogeys the final hole, loses his ball at the final hole and loses by a shot. I mean, yeah, you you've backed plenty of horses in the past that have gone charging at that and then got the old jelly legs. I mean, he's just got the jelly legs on the back nine in incredible fashion. You're like going up the Cheltenham Hill, I believe.
Yeah, it was the biggest collapse by a horsey since Devon Lock in the Grand National, probably. But
I think you're right, yeah.
And Jordan Smith as well. I mean,
the splits, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's the one. Jordan Smith collapsed as well, didn't he? That was a disappointing final round. I mean, if he'd known that that was the number, I'm sure he would have played a different approach, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he does struggle in contention, Jordan Smith. He's got a bit of a brittle temperament there, but yeah, he's getting married in a couple of weeks, so maybe he can, he'll enjoy that.
I can't be easy, can it? I'd be a hopeless choker, I think, don't you? Would you be? Are you steely nerved, do you think, in contention, or do you?
I don't know.
Like a very old wall.
On that watch along, we talked about how I think punters make good temperaments because they're so used to the. It often matters more to the punter than the player. And I think I've been through enough to be able to hold myself together in those situations, but obviously haven't got the talent to get in those situations.
Yeah, exactly. And Daniel Cousins, or Dan Cousins, I don't know which one he is. I mean, although he was a new
Gavin.
Name to me, Gavin's rather, although he was a new name to me, I mean, the bookies gave him a bit of respect. I think it was priced between kind of 66 and 100, so not a complete no-hoper.
No, I've been playing well on the Challenge Tour. 30-year-old from Leeds. He had five top tens on the Challenge Tour this year. So he wasn't on my radar. But I mean, we have to see whether he can handle any pressure, won't we? Because it's not often you win a tournament without ever thinking you're going to win a tournament. There wouldn't have been any shot he hit there where he thought this is to win the tournament. He held a couple of absolutely miraculously long putts. Crazy game, but yeah, he seems a lovely lad, and I'm delighted for him.
Excellent. Right. Well, that's last week. Let's look ahead to this week, shall we? So much going on, isn't there? Like, I'll quickly rattle through what we've got. We've got a WGC event. All the big guns pretty much are out for the St. Jude FedEx Championship. We've got the Hero Open up at St. Andrews. We've got the Barracuda, which is kind of secondary event in America. So, wide open betting heat. And what starts tonight, the one that, if you want some exotic each way lucky 15s and various perms of trebles and doubles, then it's the Women's Olympics. That starts at 11:30 on Tuesday night. So it's a real bumper week. We'll start with the quality contest, the FedEx St. Jude Classic. And I'll quickly spin through the betting to give you a taste of just how good this is. These are guide prices. You may get better prices and you may get better each way odds as well if you shop around. Brooks Koepka around about 12 to 1 though. You're right, they're waggling your shoulders.
I'm just so excited. Yeah, four tournaments. It's just, this is it, isn't it? This is what we live for.
Oh, you got a nice Hugo Boss top. I mean,
I have. It's a bit chilly today in the shed. I couldn't believe it. Summer's gone already, but it seems.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Colin Morikawa, 14s. Xander Schauffele, the new Olympic champion, he's 14s. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, 16s. Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, 20s and 22 and bigger, the rest. Like I say, they do shop around for the best offers. So it's the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Steve, set us up. What kind of course, whereabouts in America are we? And how many selections have you got?
TPC Southwind, Memphis, Tennessee, 7,233 yards, par 70. Hosted the St. Jude Classic from 1989 to 2018. And then the WGC St. Jude Invitational was created in 2019. Always a stiff ball striking assignment, only two par fives, and usually played in extreme heat, this one. Memphis, very hot, 35 degrees this week.
Blimey, O'Reilly. How many selections?
Four!
And the main selection is?
It's Brooks Koepka. The most likely winner of the tournament is Brooks Koepka. He might have won the Open. He got his putts to the hole on the Saturday. Saturday was the round when it all went wrong. He left everything short of the hole on the slow greens. Found top gear on the Sunday. Closed with a 65 to finish sixth. One of the main reasons I fancied Koepka for the Open was that he seemed to be over his knee problem in previous weeks. That looked to be the case in the Open. And then confirmation came at the weekend. When he was filmed dancing. Have you seen this footage? Filmed dancing at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit launch party, twerking, really twisting his knee, really testing and twisting his knee. Koepka is over the knee problems. He's fit. He's firing again. And even with the injury issues, he finished second in the USPGA. Then he was fourth in the US Open, fifth in the Travelers Championship. His ball striking has been majestic. He's going to a ball strikers track this week where his record is incredible. He was 19th on his St. Jude Classic debut, third in 2015, second in 2016. He won the first of these WGCs at Southwind by three shots in 2019. And then last year, he tied second, despite arriving in poor form.
Okay. You know, you get these words, these sort of trendy new words, and I don't. I'm always really slow to know what they mean. I don't even know what woke means, probably, but I certainly don't know what twerking is. Remind me what twerking is. Is it some
Twerking.
kind of dance?
It's a dance move, yeah, a modern dance move where you bend over and basically push your posterior towards your dance partner. Yeah, it's quite an erotic dance move. And his wife was behind him, and he was just quite a bit of distance between them, actually. He was going to really need to push it through to get there. So there was a seat there. He didn't
Socially
actually.
distanced twerking, was it?
Yeah, that's it. He didn't actually make contact with his wife. She was too busy filming it, but he was having a jolly time. But what I found most fascinating was that he was putting a lot of pressure on those knees and twisting them, bending, and he didn't give a monkey. So he's clearly over that.
That's
Yeah,
done it for you, is it? The
that's
fact that
done
you
it.
twerked. Have you ever
It
twerked?
has. No, don't do much nightclubbing these days. Yeah,
Young man's game, isn't it?
no, I'm not a twerker. Are you a twerker? No, you're obviously not a twerker. You don't know what it
Certainly
is.
not. I don't even know what it is. No. Okay, so Brooks Koepka is your main selection. Who's the big danger, do you think?
Next best, and this will surprise a few people. I'm going to take a chance. Dustin Johnson at 20-1. I think 20-1 is an attractive price for Dustin Johnson. I think he can get his sparkle back at a course he absolutely loves. He won the St. Jude Classic on his debut there in 2012. He was 10th the following year, 5th in 2016. He was a six-shot winner of this tournament in 2018. And then for the two WGCs there, you look at his form and you think slightly disappointed, but there's good excuses for it. In 2019, he was still getting over losing a USPGA duel to Koepka. He was gutted to lose that USPGA, played rubbish in the aftermath to that, went to Southwind in terrible form, finished 20th. Then last year, his two events prior to Southwind with a memorial where he carded a pair of 80s to miss the cut by an absolute mile. And then the 3M Open where he opened with a 78, then withdrew with a bad back. So his next tournament is this. And he finished 12th, which is a good effort in the circumstances. And that 12th place was the foundation for that amazing run of form he had at the end of last year. Yeah, went on to win the Northern Trust, the Tour Championship, the Masters. I think he'll have it in his head that this could be the turning point again.
What's been going wrong for him, Steve?
Driving's been a bit erratic. Iron's been a bit inconsistent. Putter being the biggest problem. But the Open last, at the Open, he wasn't bad. He was rubbish at the 3M. But at the Open, he finished 8th. Just had one bad round. And it's important to note at the 3M, there's excuses for that 3M flop. Not only did he have the long journey from England, his brother got COVID, and his brother, his caddy, he had a different caddy on the bag for the 3M.
I thought he looked a bit different, the caddy. Yeah, because
Yeah,
normally
Austin.
his brother normally helps him with the putting, doesn't he? He sort of stands there with his legs apart, and Dustin kind of peers between
That's
it, doesn't
it,
he?
yeah. Aim point, yeah, aim point, yeah. And yeah, Austin had COVID. So, yeah, the 3M flop, you can forgive. I can see DJ coming back to a course he absolutely loves, fresh and firing, and getting on one of those runs that he had at the end of last year. I think 20-1 is definitely worth taking.
Righty-ho. Who else have you got?
I've got two more. The third one is Viktor Hovland, who has just moved into the top 10 of the world rankings for the first time. Might not sound much to you or I, but to Norway, that's an immense moment. Norway's best ever player is it the first time they've had one in the top 10, obviously. He won the BMW International at the end of June. He was 12th in the Open. He was 14th in the Olympics last week. He closed with a 64. He took time to get going, but he found his A game again on Sunday. I'm not generally keen on the players that have gone from Tokyo to California. I think that's a tough gig, but I think Hovland can handle it. He's had a nice light schedule lately. He had a nice break in Norway prior to the Open. He's only 23, fit as a fiddle. And I think his preparation this time is actually better than it was for the last Memphis WGC. If you remember, that was just after the return to golf, as the PGA Tour like to call it. And Hovland played in every event after the return of golf, and he was driving from tournament to tournament. He played 6 weeks in a row, driving his Lexus from tour stop to tour stop, drinking lots of Red Bull. And he was absolutely knackered by the time this event came around. He played 6 on the spin. By the end of July, he was exhausted. He didn't really start playing well again until September. He just burnt himself out, and he finished 59th at Southwind. So I think that's put a few people off. He's a big price has been dangled this week. But for a course debut running on empty, I can forgive him that. I expect much better this time.
Okay. I love the way you say the PGA called it the return to golf. This is some sort of marketing,
Well,
brilliant line.
they capped it up, but they
Why do they
capped.
call it that?
Yeah, they capped it up. You know
Oh,
what
did
they were.
they? Okay, so we've got Koepka, we've got DJ, we've got Hovland. Who else?
And the finale is Harris English, podcast favourite. His PGA Tour breakthrough came at Southwind 2013, long time ago. He loves this track. Now he gets the chance to tackle it in a WGC for the first time. Yeah, tough ball striking assignment seemed to suit him. He's finished fourth and third in the last two US Opens, two-time winner this year, world number 14, not getting the respect he deserves. English needs to be in the staking plan.
Right, okay. Excellent. Let's move on to the Hero Open then, shall we? I think that takes place up in St Andrews, doesn't it, Steve? Tell us about this tournament.
Yeah, Fairmont St Andrews. So it's not the world famous course that everyone loves, but yeah, it's a very expensive creation, very very nearby to it.
How many courses are there up there, Steve? It's not just the main one, is it?
There's plenty. You can't walk 100 yards without stumbling across a golf course. Yeah. This one's designed by Sam Torrance with a little bit of help from the late Gene Sarazen. 7,230 yards, par 72, four par fives, three short par fours. It's an easy course unless the wind's blowing. The wind's not going to blow that strong this week. It's only hosted one previous European Tour event, the Scottish Championship last year. Adrian Ottagoe won that one, 23 under par.
Okay, I'll flash up the odds. If you thought it's the same one as for last week, you wouldn't be far off. It's exactly the same people again, I'm afraid. The European Tour, despite the best efforts of the organisers, in a really stagnant place, I'm afraid. Andy Sullivan's favourite at 16s. Then you've got 22s, Marcus Armitage and Adrian Ottagoe. 25-1 Ryan Fox, 25 Jordan Smith, 25 Kawamura, and 33-1 Barr. It is a boring lineup, Steve. But you know, if you can invigorate me with some exciting tips, then I shall certainly get into it. How many have we got?
The thing is, mate, if you'd backed Daniel Gavins last week, you probably would have had the most exciting Sunday of your life.
Definitely.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't want to come in and put a downer on it all. But you know, most of these European events every so often, you know, you'll get a Westwood or someone dropping in and brightening it up a little bit. I don't know. It's no disrespect to the guys and all that. But, you know, I don't know. It's just a bit starless, isn't it?
I hear you.
But OK, how many tips have we got?
We've got five tips at nice prices.
OK.
And the man that's going to light up our Torrance course this week is Matthew Jordan at 50-1. I've always been a big Matthew Jordan fan. I think his time has come. He's a Lynx natural, born on the Wirral, member at Hoylake, won the St Andrews Lynx Trophy in 2017, won the Lytham Trophy by 9 shots in 2018. He was fifth in the 2019 Dunhill Lynx Championship. He finished 25th in the Scottish Championship on this course last year. Solid effort. I expect better this time. He posted three top 20s in a row from the end of June, start of July. BMW International, Irish Open, Scottish Open. The kazoo and the hander did not go well, but he's shown definite signs this summer that the A game is close. I think this assignment's a good one for him. He's won on the Challenge Tour. I'm certain Matty Jordan's good enough to win on the European Tour.
And he's what, 50s, did you say?
General 50s, yeah, easy to back at 50.
Splendid. Okay, who's the number two tip?
Matthias Schmid. My hero staking plan is built around potential, young, progressive sorts. We've got no idea how good Matthias Schmidt might be, but he might be a superstar in the making. He's a 23-year-old German. He's a two-time winner of the European Amateur Championship. Last month, he matched the record for the lowest round by an amateur in the Open Championship. He shot a 65 on the Friday, won the silver medal comfortably. He turned pro after the Open, 47th place in the kazoo, 19th place in the ISPS hander. That's a great start to European Tour life. Rock-solid ball striker. I can see him going well at a massive price.
Go on, tell us what price is.
75-1.
75s. Okay. Right. We move on.
Daniel Hillier, 66-1. Another 23-year-old who seems set for a glorious future. Showcased his class in the ISPS last week. Great swing, loads of power. Finished tied third. Two-time winner of the New Zealand Amateur Championship. He's already played in two majors. He qualified for the 2019 US Open through the Walton Heath qualifier. He qualified for last month's Open through winning the final qualifier at Holinwell. Been playing well on the Challenge Tour lately. Looks pure class to me. You've got to bear in mind, he had no preparation last week. Hardly any preparation. Two new courses to learn. He played seven practice holes on one of them, only four on the other. He'll get more time to prepare at Fairmont St Andrews. The only negative you've got with Hillier is the same situation we had last week with Jonathan Caldwell. The one firm that's always first up with golf prices missed him off their list, and all the lemmings have followed suit. And you know, I've had to sort of galvanise the firms into action. But yeah, 66-1 is out there. Hillier's a great bet at that price.
Okay. Have you ever been to that Walton Heath qualifier for the US Open? It's probably the best free day of sport you can find. It's absolutely superb. You get to walk right behind the players. You can just walk along the fairway. It's mad.
Yeah, no, I've never been there. I've played Waterneath, but never been to the
It's
Coral Reef.
really good, honestly. It's free to get in, and like I say, you just literally stand behind the players on the fairways. They play. They're shots at people with their dogs and everything. It was brilliant. I don't know when it is, but we'll try and flag it up on a sweet spot so that people get a chance to go. But it's really good fun. Okay, and two more tips. Who have we got
Two
left?
more giant prices. Nikolai Højgaard. Again, massive potential, huge scope for improvement. He's only 20. He was brilliant as a teenage amateur. He won the 2018 European Amateur Championship. He's played some good golf this year. Seventh in the Austrian Open, 15th in the Gran Canaria Open, fourth in the Canary Islands Championship, 14th in the Cazoo the week before last. Worth chancing at 90-1. And the final one at 125-1 is Craig Howie, teeing up in his home country. A danger man on the Scottish links. He won the stroke play element of the 2015 Amateur Championship at Carnoustie. He played well when he got European Tour starts last year. He was fourth in the Austrian Open, fifth in the UK Championship. This year, he had to be very, very patient. He didn't get a tournament place until the Kenya Savannah Classic at the end of March. But once he got going again, it didn't take him long to find his groove. He won his first Challenge Tour event in the middle of May, and he won it by 7 shots. He's been great on the Challenge Tour all year. Be relishing a European Tour start this week.
Righty-ho, let's head without further ado back to America for the Barracuda Championship. So whenever there's a WGC event with a limited field, they normally put a lesser PGA Tour event on it, and it is the Barracuda. And it's wide open, this one. 18-1 the field. That brings in Emiliano Grillo. 18 Pereira, one of the players who was involved in the seven-way playoff for bronze. Who looked, Steve, by the way, I thought he looked a bit like Daryl Gurney, the darts player. Did you see that at
Yeah,
all?
I suppose you do too. Yeah, Daryl Gurney's not playing well anyway. He could probably beat Daryl Gurney at darts, but yeah, Pereira looks a player.
He
Three-time
does,
Prairie
yeah.
Tour winner, 26 years of age. You know, Chile's got another superstar there.
Absolutely. Brandon Grace's 18s, Maverick McNealy's 18s, Troy Merritt's 22s, Gary Woodland 22, 28 bar. How many selections, Steve?
We got five.
Five selections. Well, first of all, tell us where we are and what kind of track this is.
We are at the Old Greenwood Tahoe Mountain Golf Club, Truckee, California, 7,425 yards par 71, but it's at altitude, so 6,000 feet up in the mountains there, so the ball will fly further. It's only hosted one Barracuda, last year's one, Jack Nicklaus design. We've got three drivable par fours, so yeah, we must point out it's a modified Stableford format. I know
Oh God, is it?
you love these, don't you?
Oh, okay.
So we
So
got
is that one we get like 5 points for an eagle, three for a birdie, and all that kind of caper, yeah?
yep, 5 points for an eagle, two for a birdie. Bogey is minus one, double bogey or worse, minus three. And with those three drivable par fours, and yeah, being at altitude, yeah, we must mention the Albatross. We might get a few Luther Vandross. We might get a Luther Vandross this week, which is 8 points.
Oh my goodness. Okay, excellent. Well, so that presumably means some people can come surging through later on, can they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I love it. It's a really exciting golf tournament.
All right, excellent. Right then, so who's the headline selection?
The most likely winner is Maverick McNealy. Again, a podcast regular. I'm certain he can become a PGA Tour champion. This looks like a golden opportunity. Former world number one amateur, nicely settled on the PGA Tour now. Runner up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February, fourth in the RBC Heritage in April. Really solid over his last five events. Five top 30 finishes in a row. 16th in the 3M Open last time out. Just on the fringes of the world's top 100 now. This week he's playing in his home state. He finished seventh in last year's Barracuda at the Old Greenwood, and he didn't arrive in good form for that. He's in much better nick this time.
Okay, Maverick McNealy, the headliner. Who's the biggest danger in your opinion?
Scott Stallings, three-time PGA Tour champion, very underrated player. He's 50-1. It's a big price. The last of those victories came in the Farmers Insurance Open, an event in California with a much better field than he'll face this week. Stallings has really knuckled down over the last couple of years. He's become a fitness freak. He got a bit fat. He didn't like what he looked like, and he really went for it in the gym. Now he lost 50 pounds. He's absolutely ripped now. Better results have followed. Fifth place in the Barracuda at the Old Greenwood last year was one of them. He was third in the Byron Nelson in the middle of May this year. He's in good nick is Scott Stallings.
And Steve, at this level, if you've won three tour events, that's worth its weight in gold, isn't it? Because that means you've got the cojones, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Not many champions in this field.
Okay, third up.
Aaron Wise, 2018 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, won the Byron Nelson in fine style that year. He hasn't gone on to bigger and better things, but he's still only 25. Like McNealy and Stallings, he showed an instant liking for the old Greenwood last year. You talk about those bursts of scoring. He closed with a round of 19 points last year. It was the best round of the tournament. He finished eighth. And that effort came despite him arriving off three missed cuts. This time he's come in with some recent form in the book. He was ninth in the Wells Fargo, 17th in the USPGA, ninth in the Memorial. So, Aaron Wise could get his career going again, because I still think he's going to be a...
What price can we get on him?
33-1, Aaron Wise.
Jolly good. And the remaining two tips?
Brandon Hagee, power-packed California. I mean, he hits absolutely miles with the altitude and the three drivable par fours. I mean, they're just difficult par threes for him this week, Brandon Hagee. I expect him to pump it on the green at all of them. Maybe we'll see a Luther Vandross from Brandon Hagee. I think he'd be relishing this home state gig because he's found a bit of putting form lately. That's traditionally the weakness. He's got the putter going. Last month, he was sixth in the Rocket Mortgage Classic, closed with a pair of 68s, and he contended for the John Deere until a disappointing Sunday. He's a 30-year-old maiden, but he's had a lot of injury problems, which knocked out a couple of years. He's fit and firing now. I think he'll love the format. The best result he had last season came in this event, 12th at the old Greenwood.
Blimey, the amount of research you must have had to do this week, Steve's been ridiculous, hasn't it?
I'm so up for it with four tournaments. I mean, this could be the last time you ever see me. Four tournaments is a massive opportunity. Go take the opportunity. It's there for you and wring every little bit out of it. Okay.
Is this why you sent Nicola and the kids away? So you could just get in the zone and just research the hell out of it?
Well, no, it's summer holidays, isn't it? So they dart this all over the place in the summer holidays. I have had great piece to zone in this week. I do feel.
Have you enjoyed having the house to yourself, or have you just been had your nose in the form book, so to speak? Not there is such a thing as a form book.
It's the first bit of solid peace I've had in a long while. Yeah, I've enjoyed the peace, I must say. I love my family dearly, and I've missed them, but there are advantages and disadvantages.
Of course there are, mate. And finally, for the Barracuda,
Bo Hostler, another Californian licking his lips at this layout. He was really successful as a junior in his home state. He finished 29th in the US Open when he was 17. Yeah, this was a superstar from an early age in California. He was supposed to be the next big thing. But like Hagee, he's had a few injury issues. He only needed one season to get promotion from the Korn Ferry Tour. He played well on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's twice finished runner-up on the PGA Tour. I think you'll remember him losing to Ian Poulter in the 2018 Houston Open playoff. Were you on? You were on him then, I think.
That remember, doesn't matter. Every week you do this, you'll remember it.
I was certain you'd remember that one. Poulter beat Hostler and give it all the sort of King Kong style celebrations.
Oh, what, to Poulter, did he?
Poulter beat Hostler in a playoff for the Houston Open.
Oh, no.
I'm sure you were on one or the other. I
don't know. Honestly, mate.
The point is, Hostler's he's come close on the PGA Tour. He's definitely good enough to win on the PGA Tour. And he's been solid lately. Four top 25 finishes in his last six tournaments. He's getting his act together. Last year, he turned up at the old Greenwood off the back of five consecutive missed cuts, and he finished 21st. This year, he's turned up in fine fettle. I expect big things from Big Bo.
Excellent. Right then, and finally, the Olympics. What's been your Olympic highlight so far, Steve? I've really enjoyed it. I must say it's been fantastic, hasn't it?
Yeah. Hopefully there's a highlights package showing all of it, because I haven't caught as much as I would like. I was having breakfast this morning. I saw, do you see the Danish cyclists smash into our cyclists?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, you go and watch that one. The Danish cyclist smashes our lad off and then starts going mental. Like, oh, man, he's like...
Really? What, like bike rage?
Bike rage, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that can't be your highlight, surely.
No. That'd be a pretty poor Olympic.
Have you watched any of the BMX? That's terrific. They've done really well with that. Absolutely superb. Steve, I like the Fijian rugby sevens team. I was lucky enough to go to Fiji, and they're the loveliest people, the loveliest, friendliest people, and they love their rugby so much. And for them, to win an Olympic gold like that, and the men's team, when they won, the whole squad did this song, like a triumph song, and it was so beautiful. It brought a tear to my eye. See if you can watch that, okay?
Well, I will. I'm going to try and catch up with it all when I get the chance. I think if I was going to say my highlight, it'd be the trampolining, actually, because it's the one sport that I've got my daughter to be interested in. I'm always trying to get my son much more interested in sport than my daughter, and she likes the trampolining. So I think Dong Dong was the best trampolinist. Did you watch Dong Dong?
I didn't watch Dong Dong.
Dong Dong put on a show for everyone here.
Funny enough, my daughter's not banging to sport really, and I said to her, "You've really, really watched the Olympics loads, haven't you?" She goes, "Yeah, I absolutely love it." I said, "You know, would it inspire you to take up one of the sports?" She goes, "God, no, you're joking." Never mind. Right, anyway, the Olympic golf, the women's tournament starts on Tuesday night, and Nelly Korda is the favourite. Oh, go on, what?
Tonight. Well, no, tonight.
Yeah, okay, I know, but I mean, some people might be watching this on Wednesday morning, so if I say tonight, I think it's Wednesday, aren't they?
Yeah,
quite a long shelf life, this show, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to stipulate Tuesday, that was
all. Fair enough. 7-1
Nelly Korda, 9-1 Jin Yong Ko, 10-1 Inbee Park, 12-1 Hyo Joo Kim, 12-1 Si Yong Kung King, and 14-1 Bar. So I think you got four for this as well, haven't you, Steve? Because your previews was actually in today's organ, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've got yon for this, which is Japanese for four. Yeah, I thought I'd learn that for the sake of it. Yeah, yon.
I remember going to a management training thing at work once, and they taught us how to count to five in Japanese. And I thought it was ni, but okay. Anyway.
They've got two different words for four, actually. Yeah, but it's all very odd. I wish I hadn't brought it up now.
Four. Well, you could have done yon in your four.
Yon. There you go.
Right. Okay, main selection.
Main selection. Well, should we make it clear where we are first? We're at the same course.
Well, I presume Japan, but yeah, go on. Be more specific.
Same course, but they've knocked 800 yards off. I don't want listeners to think, yeah, we're playing exactly the same setup as last week. They've knocked 800 yards off, so we've got 6,648 yards, which is still quite a long course for the ladies. But yeah, we had an 18 under par winning score last week. Yeah, the field for this is really, really strong. There's not much wind forecast. I think they'll have a lot of fun out there.
And what's the name of the course again?
It's the East Course at Kazumegazaki Country Club.
That's it. Brilliant.
And the winner will be Danielle Kang, 14-1. Because there are, I love Danielle Kang's preparation. There are a few ladies who skipped a major to make sure they were peaking for the Olympics. So you look at the disinterest of your Tyrrell Hattons and your Dustin Johnsons, but there were certain LPGA tour stars that thought, right, the Olympics is more important than the majors we play. And Kang skipped the Evian Championship, which was in France the week before last, so she could prepare properly for the Olympics, get herself over there early, keep herself fresh for Japan. And I think she'll get a reward. Butch Harmon coaches Danielle Kang.
Oh, wow. Does he say, add a girl, Danielle?
I think he probably does.
Probably would, yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah.
He should do. He will be on Sunday. She's an improving 28-year-old, five-time tour winner. Two of those wins came in China, so she likes the Far East. Her parents are Korean. She's well up for this major. And in the last major, she's well up for this Olympics. In the last major she played, she finished fifth in the USPGA.
Okay, Danielle Kang, headline selection. Next up.
Patty Tavatanakit, 18-1, made the same scheduling decision as Kang. Skip the Evian. Tavatanakit has been focused on the Olympics all year. She's finished. She's a 21-year-old Thai. She became a major champion in April. She won the Anna Inspiration. They have loads of majors. I think that's six majors in the LPGA. She won her first one in April. She tied fifth alongside Kang in the USPGA. She only turned pro last year, so she's loads of scope for improvement. I fancy Patty Tavatanakit to lay down the gauntlet to Danielle Kang.
Okay, and who do you think might take bronze?
I think Leona Maguire might take bronze. 26-year-old Irish lady, former world number one amateur. She's the only one of my four tips who played in that Evian Championship. But what a confidence boost that provided for her. She signed off with a 61. That matched the lowest round in majors history, you know, men or women. She may have found her A game at the perfect time to win a medal for Ireland. You know, McIlroy and Lowry failed last week. Leona Maguire could be the one that gets it.
Okay, and the fourth selection?
Full selection at the biggest prize, 6-6-1 out. They're highly motivated for Mexico. Gabby Lopez, she was the flag bearer in the Olympics opening ceremony. The Olympics has been in my mind all year. Mexico, I know I got it wrong about Japan last week, but Mexico don't win many gold medals.
No.
Gabby Lopez knows that she's got a chance. She's prepared thoroughly for this. She made her LPGA Tour breakthrough in China in 2018. So, likes this part of the world. I think she's good enough to get a medal.
And do any of the Korean players have the same issue as poor old Sun Jae-im and Siwoo Kim did last week? Do they have women's national service? Is this
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No.
That was agonizing, wasn't it, for poor old Kim and for Im as well. And I couldn't I I know it's a bit cruel. I didn't want to goad him, but do you remember the Status Quo song? You're in the army now. It was a pretty poor song, but it used to go, "You're in the army," and I couldn't help when it was clear he wasn't going to get the medal he needed to keep him out. I was going, "You're in the army now." Yeah, well, whoa, you're in the army now. Yeah, it amused me. Yeah, anyway,
he just had one bad round, didn't he? He didn't play that badly.
What can you do? We better let you go soon, Steve, because it's the day of days, isn't it? Not just a bumper edition of golf in the Racing Post tomorrow, but obviously the lads are sweating away on the big kickoff, aren't they? Huge. Yeah. It's always our most fantastic selling edition of the year for sports. A mega, mega pullout. Free in tomorrow's Racing Post. Make sure you catch that. Who do you fancy to win the title this year, Steve?
I think the Manchester United might win the title, yeah.
Yeah. Stick to golf. I hate that on Twitter, don't you? Stick to horses. Like, you say something about, I don't know, gardening, and stick to horses. I think you should stick to golf on that one. Okay, and on that basis, Steve, we better.
We must do tip reiteration.
Don't worry about that. I've got tip reiteration and then very much involved.
Multiple selections.
Yeah. The only thing with this, if you did want to perm all your tips, there's 18 of them, and I'm not sure there's a bookmaker that has like a betting slip, a digital betting slip that allows 18 selections. So it could be a problem, couldn't it?
Okay, no, we need to harass them then and make that possible, don't we?
I don't think they'd be able to do the technical work in time, but you never know, it might be possible. Okay, right then, let's reiterate the tips then, because there's 18 of them this week. Right, St Jude Classic.
Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Victor Hovland, Harris English.
Hero Open.
Matty Jordan, Matthias Schmid, Daniel Hillier, Nikolai Hogard, Craig Howie.
And Barracuda Championship.
Maverick McNealy, Scott Stallings, Aaron Wise, Brandon Hagee, Bo Hostler.
And the Women's Olympics.
Danielle Kang, Patty Tavatanakit, Leona Maguire, Gabby Lopez.
Oh, and Steve, would you be tempted to do an exotic, maybe a small stakes? And obviously, you know, that with so much golf this week, we do urge you to bet responsibly and safely, and don't bet with any money that you can't afford to lose, rather. But if you could you see yourself doing maybe a little each way lucky 15 or something?
I'd like to recommend a fourfold, if I may, Danielle Kang, Matty Jordan, Maverick McNealy, Brooks Koepka. It's an obvious one, all my number ones, but the icing and the cake of that is that Kang and McNealy are lovers. They are boyfriend and girlfriend. They are lovers. They're going steady, as they say in America, going steady. So if Kang wins the Olympics on Saturday morning, remember, this is the early start, what a lift that's going to give Maverick going into the weekend. So it's almost a related contingency that we can sneak past the bookmakers.
Blimey.
So I love Kang, Jordan, McNealy, Koepka. A £5 each way fourfold.
50p each way fourfold. A
£5 each way fourfold returns £1 million if you invest it wisely. Check out the maximum payouts. Perhaps have £2.50 each way with one firm that pays out £500,000. £2.50 each way with another firm that pays out £500,000. You could be a millionaire on Sunday.
You could do it for 50p each way. Risk a quid and win £100,000. I mean, that's good enough for most people, isn't it?
That's also good enough. And then, you know, if you're late to this party and you've missed the start of the ladies event, don't worry. Matt Jordan, Maverick McNealy, Brooks Koepka, each way treble, that can pay fortunes as well. So,
and also, obviously, by the time you wake up on Wednesday, none of the others will have started. So, you know, there'll be updated women's prices. So there's plenty of opportunity. So a week to maybe have a dart at glory. But obviously, like we say, the chances are you won't win. So do keep your stakes very sensible. OK, we've got the Wyndham Championship and the Kazoo Classic next week. What are you going to be doing between now and, I suppose, just wall-to-wall golf, isn't it, really, Steve?
Yeah.
It's literally round the clock, isn't it?
Yeah. The Barracuda's not on the telly, is it? That's the one downside. But you can't blame them for that, because the WGC is obviously going to be on all night. But yeah, we're going to be watching golf like there's no tomorrow. This is exciting to get four, isn't it?
Really. Absolutely, it is. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. That is amazing. The research. I'll leave to put the finishing touches to your previews and. Like I say, there'll be a bumper package in tomorrow's Racing Post, which also features the gigantic big kickoff supplement. So don't miss that. Don't miss the sweet spot next week. We'll be back for that.